U.S. only while supplies last. Castor Extra. See store for details. Valid 6/21 through 7/12.
You'll have to excuse me. They need me to pitch the ninth inning in Chicago today.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
I was able to have fun down there too, which was very important. You know, just ready to, come grind this thing out for a little bit and hit the All-Star break and, get right back to business right after that.
That was Kyle Schwarber. He's not having any fun in Chicago today. No one wearing a Cubs uniform is. They're getting licked by the Brewers right now, 11-2 in the eighth inning. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann sitting on the other side of the glass. Good show for you today. They're all good shows. It's like asking a parent to choose their favorite child. I couldn't rank them, but this one would be somewhere near the top.
Choose ones with the most potential.
Well, I think this one's got some potential. Maybe this one's not going to Harvard or anything. It's probably not going to buy you a retirement house in Florida or Arizona or anything like that. But this one's got potential. The countdown to kickoff will continue today with Mike Schaefer from Huskers Illustrated and the 24/7 Nebraska website. Installment number 2 of 13 as we make our way toward Big Ten Media Days later this month in Chicago. Yesterday, we previewed the University of Michigan. Coming up tomorrow while we're in Iowa City at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, we're going to be taking a look at the Northwestern Wildcats. Stop number 3 on the countdown to kickoff. A couple interesting stories out today with regard to the Iowa Athletic Department, one written by our good friend Mark Emmert from the Des Moines Register that I think bears some discussion today. Woodja coming up, as well as a little bit of a, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a dilemma, but a question that I'll ask you, the listening audience, and perhaps you can steer me in the right direction. We're going to touch on some NFL stories today because there are a couple of them out there that I came across that have connections to Eastern Iowa, and I thought, why not talk a little NFL? We're in the middle of countdown to kickoff, and people are starting to get in a football state of mind just in time for the Major League Baseball All-Star break, but that's neither here nor there. Speaking of football, we've got a poll question available for you today at kgymradio.com, and it's the first time today that we can ask this particular question, because now all three fields have something at midfield, but who's got the best midfield logo in the state? Iowa, Iowa State, or UNI? This is basically just red meat, throwing it out there. If you're a Hawkeye fan, you're going to vote for Iowa. If you're an Iowa State fan, you're going to say it's Iowa State. And if you like UNI, you're going to say it's the Panthers. UNI's is really cool, by the way.
I was
going to
say, UNI's, unbiasedly, I think, is
UNI logo with the State of Iowa silhouette in the background. But the reason this is coming up today, the Tiger Hawk has officially been installed at Kinnick Stadium. And it didn't take too long for those pictures to make their way around Twitter and the rest of the internet today among Hawkeye fans. It's a big, and it's black, and it's, probably 15, 20 yards. It's between, you know.
It's not big enough for some people's liking.
Some people are saying that it is not big enough. And I don't know. You can't please everybody. And I think fans are just excited that they decided to take this step in the right direction and put something on the field. Not a block eye or anything like that, which would have made a little bit more sense because people on the other side of the stadium, it would have looked the same. But the Tiger Hawk, if you're on the press box side, which would be the west side stands, you'll be able to look down on the field and see it in all its glory. It looks good. Mark Morehouse, the Cedar Rapids Gazette earlier today, was running a poll on at the bottom of his story, wanting to know people's thoughts about this. And I think one of the options were to have left it blank. And the last time that I looked, there was one person that had voted for that, and I'm pretty sure I saw them tweet something about dying on a lonely island. But for the most part, you've got people that either like it or they don't think it's big enough, because you just, I don't know, you can't please everybody nowadays. Tough going. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. It's also the number that you're going to need to dial today. Sometime before 7 o'clock, we're going to hook you up with a great prize package from the Amana Colonies Golf Course. I've got a round of golf, a cart, and range balls just for you today if you're caller number 6. And I promise you, we will not do what we did last night and give that away at 6:56. It's a little bit under the gun. Is there something that we're forgetting?
Was exactly the thought that creeped into my mind yesterday.
It's like the parents
at 6:55.
It's like the parents in Home Alone. You know, you would think that maybe they would realize, I think we're forgetting something. I think we're forgetting Kevin back at the house. But we found a home for the golf giveaway yesterday. We will do so a little bit earlier today. That much I promise you. Kyle Schwarber, as we mentioned, back in the major leagues with the Chicago Cubs. It took 11 games for him to right all the wrongs with the world with AAA Iowa. I say that semi-facetiously, but Theo Epstein, the president of the Cubs, said today, look, this is sort of like hitting the reset button. I'm just going to forget that he hit 171 in the first half and bring him back, let him play a couple games here going into the All-Star break, and then see if he can carry it over. His results in AAA were outstanding. The results for pretty much everything Cub-related at Wrigley Field today, not so good. The Brewers on top 11-2 right now in the bottom of the eighth inning. This is the makeup game for the game that got rained out, about a month and a half ago? We have a coworker that was originally supposed to go to that game, and they got all the way to Chicago. And
that's right, the controversial rainout.
This is the controversial rainout game because the Brewers were upset that the game got called due to rain, and Craig Counsell, the Brewers manager, made the comment the next day. It's the first time that they'd ever had to treat their players for sunburn following a rainout, and there was a little bit of back and forth between the organizations. The Brewers, the first place Milwaukee Brewers, I will say that for Brewers fans who may be listening. I'm having a hard time digesting this season. I knew that there was going to be a little bit of a step back, a little bit of a hangover, if you will. I'm just having a hard time embracing the fact that they're struggling as badly as they are this year.
You mentioned the reset button for Kyle Schwarber. This All-Star break is going to need to be a reset button for the entire team. And you really could not have scripted a worse first half for this team as far as on-field and then some of the off-the-field issues. Hopefully for the Cubs and their fans, those 3 days away will get them back on track.
Speaking of, and the final voting has now closed, which means hopefully we won't see any more of the annoying hashtags on Twitter. But I think 3 o'clock was the cutoff date. They're going to reveal the final American League and National League All-Star coming up in a couple hours on the MLB Network. Am I the only person out there, the only Cubs fan out there, who really doesn't want to see Chris Bryant make the All-Star team? Because at this point, I think I'd rather, you know, if Wade Davis is going to be the only guy there, at this point, I would rather see him take some time off, rejuvenate a little bit along with the rest of the team who's not there, and maybe come back in the second half. And you never know. In October, maybe that little bit of rest will help pay off. I don't know. Look, the All-Star game, they finally took away the home field advantage to the World Series, so that doesn't matter anymore. And Joe West, of all people, is going to be behind the plate. So, as somebody said on Twitter earlier today, if there was any reminder that the All-Star game no longer matters for anything, it's the fact that MLB put Joe West behind the plate.
Angel Hernandez, also an umpire in that
game.
Yeah,
and I don't know what's going on there with Angel Hernandez, but I read an article earlier today. I know he's suing Major League Baseball for discrimination, and you can sue and have a case for discrimination and also be really bad at your job at the same time. And I think that's probably Angel Hernandez in a nutshell, because I think, and a lot of baseball fans think, he's kind of bad at his job.
He's awful.
But he may also have a case here. And the story that I was reading was talking about comments that Joe Torre had made. And Joe Torre has had some run-ins with him when he was managing. And now Joe Torre's in the commissioner's office and helping to oversee baseball's umpires. And it'll be very fascinating to see what direction this moves forward in. Kyle's going to join us here coming up in just about 5 minutes. He'll have your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Colonels and Wisconsin Timber Rattlers met again last night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Kind of an interesting night last night. There was a rain cloud that just hung out over the top of the stadium. The sun was out. At one point in time, there was a rainbow, and it rained intermittently off and on last night throughout the game.
I was seeing Jeff Johnson's tweets from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and I was sitting at my house in Iowa City, and he was talking about rain. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's sunny outside. And someone told me that there was, just like you said, a pop-up shower that was sort of hovering around the stadium. And what was there ever a rain delay at any point?
No, they never stopped play. They never put the tarp on or anything. And I saw something last night that I don't think I've ever seen at a baseball game, certainly not a Major League Baseball game, but something that I didn't think I would ever see at a professional baseball game, even the Class A level. Wisconsin had a runner essentially thrown out at second base because he was going off the incorrect count on the scoreboard.
No.
And
he thought it was a full count.
Well, he thought the pitch was ball four is basically what happened. And the reason why I noticed it is because at three different pitches, the last three pitches of the at-bat, the umpire was trying to get the attention of somebody in the press box by giving with his hands the correct count. And somewhere along the line, a strike had become a ball on the scoreboard. And so the umpire was trying to get the count correct, and he did it two times. And then on the right before the last pitch, he turned around and looked right at the press box and gave the correct count. Never fixed it on the scoreboard, so it said, I think it was a 3-1 count on the board. So Carlos Bolonus, who will most likely never wear a Milwaukee Brewers uniform, I think he was hitting 206 or something last night, Carlos takes off for second base, and he would have been out anyway. I want to preface this by saying that, because the throw beat him. But he pulls up and basically stops his steal attempt because he thinks, okay, ball four. And no. Colonel shortstop gets the ball and sort of, it's one of those major league moments where he's motioning for Willie Mays Hayes to, okay, come on, get to the base here. But I've never seen that before.
So you put that under things that you've never seen before, and I'll put this under things that I've never seen before. How about John Jay making a pitching appearance throwing 59-mile-an-hour fastballs?
Was that a fastball or a changeup?
Well, I believe it was a fastball, since all of the pitches have been that speed. And I know that we're supposed to be on our P's and Q's and talking about sports and not paying attention to that, but that caught my attention, seeing John Jay, the former St. Louis Cardinal, on the mound. And because you joked at the outset of this show that they might need you on the north side of Chicago to pitch, well, looks like they could have used you.
The first Cubs position player, left-handed position player, to pitch in a game since the immortal Doug DiCenzo, who did it four times in the 1990 season. And one of those instances, I believe it was a game against the Mets, was immortalized on his 1991 score baseball card. It's outfielder Doug DiCenzo on the mound at Wrigley Field. And I've got all these autographed cards at home and everything as part of my memorabilia collection. Speaking of, I'm going to give you a hypothetical about a certain autographed card coming up in the 6 o'clock hour today, but I've got this card, and it may, I've got Mike Trout and Clayton Kershaw and all these guys. My 1991 score Doug DiCenzo baseball card that was autographed when he was manager of the Fort Wayne. First they were the Wizards, then they were the Tin Caps. I think I may be buried with that. I think I may leave instructions behind to either my wife, if she's still with me, or my son, that I am to be buried with the 1991 autographed Doug DiCenzo. There was something about Doug DiCenzo, I liked him. Just this little scrappy outfielder, and yeah, they put him on the baseball card pitching. I think Jose Canseco had a card where he was pitching at one point, too. That's probably
friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Jose Canseco. Second only to the time that the ball bounced off Canseco's head and went over the wall for a home run. Which I think, if I saw this right, Keith Olbermann, the former SportsCenter anchor and political commentator, I think Keith Olbermann owns the hat that Jose Canseco was wearing.
How do you get that? I know that Major League Baseball sells everything.
He has a very impressive memorabilia collection. I wonder if he's a Yankees fan.
I think he actually, I know that he is.
I might have a baseball card he could be interested in.
That's true. Is that what's going to come up on Woodja?
Yes. Well, it's going to be a post-Woodja. Woodja is going to be at 5:30 today, and then at 6 o'clock I'm going to ask people basically what they would do if they had a small financial windfall just sort of drop in their lap. I'm putting the cart before the horse here. It's a story. I can't call it a good story, but it's a story. I'll have it for you in hour number three. 11-2 at Wrigley Field today. How are the Cardinals doing? I know they were playing earlier today as well.
They split. They got the win today, and they split the four-game series against the Marlins.
Okay.
It wasn't pretty, but they got it done.
There you go. We'll be talking Cardinals baseball and more with Jack Dom coming up tomorrow. The Mount Mercy baseball coach will be with us for the KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire. We'll be back at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Stop on in tomorrow, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard there in Iowa City. Happy hour starts at 3 o'clock. We'll be doing the show from 4 until 7, and usually have a good time there. $2.50 domestic bottles and $2 domestic pints, the happy hour special at Coach's Corner. And a big thank you to Sean and his staff there, once again sponsoring not only are hosting us for the road trip, but for sponsoring the countdown to kickoff as well. And that's going to be coming up at the bottom of the hour today. Installment number 2 takes us west to Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll check in and learn a little bit about the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Don't forget, vote in the KGYM radio poll question today. It is red meat for you football fans, Iowa, Iowa State, UNI fans. Just go vote for your school because that's what you're going to do anyway. Who has the best midfield logo now among the three state schools? Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question there on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. We'll find out what's on Kyle's first big board update of the day when we return after this. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier baseball team split with Kennedy on Monday in Mississippi Valley Conference play, winning game 1 4-2 and losing the second game 2-1. Bryce Schulte threw a complete game 5-hitter to take the victory in game 1 and had a pair of hits in game 2. Ryan Hosh went the distance and pitched well in a losing cause in game 2. The Saints will host Dubuque Hempstead in MVC action in a doubleheader tomorrow. The Xavier softball team swept Washington 13-0 and 14-0 on Monday night to close out the regular season. The Saints end the regular season 21-17 and 17-9 in the Mississippi Valley Conference. The Saints open Class 4A regional play by hosting Grinnell tonight at 7 p.m. The winner will play 8 a.m. on Saturday night at 7 p.m. in Adel.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company. Family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll. Hey, Colonels. Hey, Colonels.
It's Iowa State Cyclone Night at the Colonels this Friday. The first 1,000 fans will receive a free Iowa State baseball cap and bid on Iowa State game-worn jerseys. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, that's
times roll.
Business is all about having the right connections. And with American Airlines' nonstop flight to Charlotte, North Carolina, from the Eastern Iowa Airport, you have more than 600. Whether you need to get to a meeting in Washington, D.C., or a conference in Paris, flying nonstop to American Airlines' second largest hub will get you there. And with two daily flights, you'll get there and back when you need to. Connect for business at the Eastern Iowa Airport. More seats, more flights, more options. Book tickets now at flycid.com.
Welcome back. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on KGYM. We've got three ways that you can listen to us on the radio. 106.3 FM in Iowa City. That's our South Gym. 107.5 FM. That's our North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. And then all across Eastern Iowa on the historic 1600 AM Main Gym frequency. Mike Schaefer from 24/7 Sports and Huskers Illustrated coming up with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little Iowa athletics to lead off hour number two. Mark Emmert from the Des Moines Register with a very interesting piece today. I noticed that that story didn't have current quotes from UI Athletic Director Gary Barta, and that's because we really haven't heard from Gary Barta since the university had to settle the lawsuits with Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum and their attorneys for $6.5 million. And this is on the radar screen. We normally hear from Gary Barta at Big Ten Media Days each July in Chicago. Will he or will he not step in front of the media and discuss the state of the athletic department? It's going to be fascinating to see whether or not that occurs or not. We'll have some NFL talk coming up for you, as well as baseball, basketball, the whole nine yards, if you will. It makes sending it over to Kyle Mann for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update all that much easier. Kyle?
Rick Heller announced earlier today that Desi Drushel would become the full-time pitching coach with the Iowa baseball team. Drushel has spent the last three seasons as Iowa's director of baseball operations after serving as Mount Mercy's head coach from 2006 to 2014. He inherits an Iowa staff returning 10 pitchers after breaking the school's single-season strikeouts record. The Cedar Rapids Colonels fell to the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers 5-3 yesterday, with all of Wisconsin's damage coming in the second inning. Starter Evan Sanders lasted just an inning and a third, and it's now on lefty Dominic Carlini tonight to help the Colonels avoid being swept in three games at home. He'll be facing Wisconsin's Jordan Desguin, and that game will get started at 6:35. The Colonels also announced a small roster move today, with outfielder Leon Marrero heading to the 7-day DL with a hamate fracture in his right hand. The team did not announce a corresponding promotion and appear prepared to play with 24 players on the roster for the duration of Marrero's injury. The Twins missed their chance at a three-game sweep of the Angels last night, falling in the finale 2-1, but they're back on the diamond tonight, hosting Baltimore. The Twins and Orioles are starting a four-game weekend series that you'll be able to hear on KGYM Radio, beginning tonight after our show, with ace Jose Berrios on the mound against Baltimore's Dylan Bundy. That game, and all the Twins games this weekend, can be heard on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids.
Ben Jacobson and the UNI Panthers got a verbal commitment within the last 2 hours or so from a 2019 recruit here in the state of Iowa. James Betts, a 6'7" junior out of Garner Hayfield, Ventura. My apologies to Ventura. Earlier today when I tweeted the news out, I called the school Garner Hayfield. They're now Garner Hayfield Ventura. But a nice pickup for Ben Jacobson as a sophomore. Betts was the team's leading scorer and rebounder on a group that went 23-2 and reached the 2A state tournament, averaged 12.2 points and 6.4 rebounds. So Ben Jacobson adding a future UNI Panther to the fold. Take a couple years for him to get to campus, but still a very nice get for you and I.
Definitely looking forward to catching up with Mike Schaefer of 24/7 Sports coming up in about, well, call it 5 to 7 minutes to talk about the Nebraska Cornhusker football team, year number three under Mike Riley in Lincoln. And this is a big year with Tommy Armstrong out of the fold. Mike Riley brings in a quarterback from Tulane and Tanner Lee. He fires his defensive coordinator, Mark Banker, who he has worked for 20 years with, going back to his days at Oregon State. He fires his special teams coach. And this is a coach who has been so loyal to his staff over the years. So it was interesting to see that happen. But I think that that kind of shows the pressure that he's under in Lincoln to turn this program around and to win. And win big in year three.
Lots of Iowa ties there as well. Bobby Elliott not going to be doing any coaching of the backfield, but Bob Diaco taking over as the defensive coordinator. The countdown to kickoff, installment number two, is next. As Alex said, we head west to Nebraska. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. More on the way after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 12 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services. For a while now, you've heard me proclaim my obsession with our beloved Hawkeyes. But my Hawkeye obsession pales in comparison to our obsession with providing you efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Whether you're buying or selling commercial property or buying your first home. Sure, we love our Hawkeyes, but helping you is our passion. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City and HawkeyeTitle.com. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. When the new NBA season starts in the fall, Dirk Nowitzki of the Mavericks will become only the second player to play for 20 years with one team, joining Kobe Bryant. Nowitzki and the Mavericks are working out a two-year, $10 million contract, with the second year being a team option. Today is the first day signings and trades can be officially announced, and it is now official. Paul George goes to the Thunder. Indiana gets Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis in return. On the baseball scoreboard today, the Cardinals beat the Marlins 4-3. Michael Wacha gets his sixth win. Luke Voit drives in three for St. Louis. The Tigers beat the Giants 6-2 in Detroit. San Francisco starter Johnny Cueto was scratched because of an inner ear infection. Ninth inning at Wrigley, it's all Brewers. They lead the Cubs 11-2. Eighth inning in Denver, the Reds lead the Rockies 4-2. Are you wondering how 39-year-old Patriots quarterback Tom Brady is still winning Super Bowls? He'll be glad to let you in on some of the secrets for about $30 in his new book.
Stop in at Jersey Mike's today for a sub and a 32-ounce Pepsi fountain, and you could win the music trip of a lifetime. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends August 14th. See official rules at PepsiRockThisWay.com.
Thank you for never giving up.
Thank you for protecting our planet.
Thank you for saving the human race.
Only Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil can deliver the ultimate protection needed for those protecting our world. We're proud to do our part to protect them. Thank you, Autobots, for doing yours to protect us all. Valvoline, the official synthetic motor oil of Transformers The Last Knight. Only in theaters. Right now, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts and get a free Valvoline action figure. Offer expires July 26, 2017. Proof of purchase required. Limit 2 while supplies last. See store for more details.
Imagine a store that lets you get anything you wanted. An HD flat screen TV, a high capacity ultra quiet washer and dryer, a complete living room set. And imagine if you didn't need a lick of credit to get it. That store simply believed in you. Imagine if they even delivered it, set it up, and serviced it at no additional cost. Well, that store exists. That's Rent-A-Center. Imagine that. No credit needed. Affordable payment plans. Delivery, setup, and service included. Imagine new possibilities at Rent-A-Center. Rental purchase transaction. See store for details.
With unlimited data from T-Mobile, you've got unlimited access to MLB All-Star Week. Host and follow the game's biggest stars as they belt bombs and live it up on the sidelines with hashtag score unlimited. And no matter where you are, never miss a moment from Miami on America's best unlimited network. With T-Mobile, unlimited data means unlimited baseball.
Top 3% of data users over 32 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video typically streams at 480p. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm KFC's Extra Crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my Extra Crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded Extra Crispy Chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
back to the Todd Bromelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
That, as Nebraska fans will tell you, is a little bit of Hail Varsity. And the countdown to kickoff continuing today here on the program. Welcome back in, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and producer Kyle Mann. Stop number two on the countdown to kickoff today, brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, takes us west to Lincoln, Nebraska, and Mike Schaefer joining the program from 24/7 Sports and Huskers Illustrated. Mike, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and let's go ahead and ask your question, Alex, because I know you wanted to start with Mike Riley and some of the staff shakeups that he had.
Yeah, Mike, Mark Banker was the defensive coordinator, had been the defensive coordinator with Mike Riley going back to Oregon State for the last 20 years. And Mike Riley's always been known as a guy who has been very loyal to his staff, and he made the change. He fires Mark Banker over the offseason, brings in Bob Diaco first. Did that move come as a surprise to you?
Yeah, I mean, the timing of that move was pretty unique. I mean, it happened right before the start of the second recruiting period there in January, and Mark Banker was actually on the road when he found out that he was being let go. So this was a kind of a late decision, I think, one that was made in part because Nebraska felt good about their chances to get Bob Diaco. I'm not entirely sure, you know, if this was a pure Mike Riley only decision, or if Nebraska kind of had some influence there between Sean Eichhorst and Billy Devaney, who is the director of player personnel for Nebraska. I mean, I think that there's kind of a trio of decision makers there, and they might have felt like it was best to move on from Mark Banker. So it was a pretty big surprise, you know, at the time. It's funny because the further you get away from it, the more you kind of forget that all sort of happened. I mean, Nebraska moving forward with the 3-4 defense, Bob Diaco has kind of taken over and really taken the reins of the defense and made himself kind of a leader, as you would expect from your defensive coordinator. So it was certainly a surprise as quickly as it all came about in January, one from the move to the hire. But now at this point, it appears all systems going forward with Diaco's 3-4.
And that was going to be my question for you, Mike, is how has Diaco, of course, the former Hawkeye, lots of people familiar with him here in Eastern Iowa, how has he meshed in with this program?
It's been interesting because he's got his system and his way of doing things, and he's not a wallflower. He's going to take control of what he's given control of, and he's going to find other areas where he feels like things could be run more efficiently. I mean, one of the kind of the funny stories that explain his personality this spring, first day of spring practice, they're going through special teams work, and you know, he sees the punters off to the side kind of doing their thing, and they're not receiving much instruction. And Diaco marches over there and starts coaching them on how high their leg lifts need to be as they're setting into their punt. So he basically, there's no part of this team that he doesn't want to have interaction with. He's obviously in charge of the defense first and foremost, but this is a guy that, you know, has really kind of immersed himself in the talent that's going to be here and is basically kind of made a point to a show of it, that this is his defense, this is how he wants to run it, and things are going to ultimately go through him on that side of the ball, and if there's parts where he can help out where else, he's going to try to do it as well.
Moving to the offensive side of the football, the biggest question for the offseason was going to be who is going to replace Tommy Armstrong at quarterback. Tanner Lee, the Tulane transfer, was named the starting quarterback, at least heading in to the summer. Do you expect him to be under center week one?
Yeah, I know, you know, barring injury, he's the guy that they're going to roll with in that first week. The hype for Tanner Lee has been almost unfathomable at this point, between the talk of people as to where he could go in the NFL, considering he hasn't taken a snap in more than a year, and he wasn't overly highly regarded, I mean, as a transfer from Tulane. I mean, Nebraska, LSU were involved, and that was about it. LSU wanted him to walk on. Nebraska offered a scholarship. He went with Nebraska. And since then, it's been nothing but just, really an incredible hype. And he's backed it up with what he did in the spring game and in spring practices. But I think a lot of fans around here are ready and anxious to see, you know, is this guy really going to be able to kind of meet the expectations and just the praise that he's received kind of over the spring. So certainly look for Tanner Lee to start things off. If for whatever reason it doesn't work with him or if he gets hurt, Patrick O'Brien, the redshirt freshman, will be right there as a backup.
As someone who kind of followed the AAC, I saw Tanner Lee his freshman and sophomore seasons, and he struggled on some really bad Tulane teams. He transfers to Nebraska. My question is, for someone who hasn't seen him in a couple years, where has that improvement come from, and where is the hype coming from, and why has Mike Riley really put all of his confidence in the former Tulane quarterback?
Yeah, I think the hype stems from twofold. One, you know, at Nebraska, and as Iowa media, you're well-versed in watching these games. Nebraska hasn't exactly had a throwing quarterback that makes it look particularly easy in several years. And, I mean, coming off of Tommy Armstrong and Taylor Martinez, who were just as capable of hitting the other team in the numbers as they were their own wide receivers on any given play, certainly there's an element of, you know, this looks as a passing offense is supposed to. And I think that's driving a lot of this. But then you factor in other things with Tanner Lee. I mean, he's a big guy. He's 6'5". He's got a big arm. It's a live arm. He can put that ball, you know, in a lot of different spots across the field with good pace, good timing. You know, he's hitting guys on timing routes that we haven't seen at Nebraska in quite some time. And because of that, it all kind of builds on each other. And he goes down to these camps, the Manning camp, other ones, and they're not real game situations, but when allowed to just practice in shorts and a T-shirt, and showing off his arm and his accuracy with that arm. I mean, Tanner Lee can match up with people just because of physical attributes. Combined with Mike Riley's offense and Danny Langsdorf's success with quarterbacks over the years, the idea of being built there is this is a guy that could be well-versed to attack teams through the air. I mean, the question is going to be, can Nebraska protect him well enough? And is he going to be able to get receivers? Are they going to be able to get open? Is he going to have to throw them open? I mean, how is that dynamic going to work? Nebraska lost its, you know, three of its top four wide receivers from last season.
Mike Schaefer joining us on the Countdown to Kickoff from 24/7 Sports covers the Nebraska Cornhuskers as well as their recruiting. I'll go ahead and ask you a question that is pretty much a staple during this series, but what's the biggest question mark surrounding this team before its opener?
Yeah, you can't just pick just one thing with this team. You essentially have a new quarterback, you have new running back, new wide receivers. The only thing the same on the offense is the offensive line and the coaching staff. And then defensively, you've got a whole new scheme with a 3-4 system, a new defensive coordinator that you don't know how it's going to necessarily go with him at the helm and his power structure with Nebraska. So, I mean, you have massive question marks on both sides of the ball. And weirdly enough, I'm more confident in the defense putting together an average to maybe an above average season statistically. And I'm far more curious about what the offense is going to look like because this is the first year in Mike Riley's tenure that he has a quarterback that he's used to, a pocket passing quarterback that you expect high efficiency offenses from, check down throws, the use of the tight ends. I mean, it's going to be dramatically different on offense than what they've done with 2 years where your best play on third long was often to have Tommy run a shotgun draw. So, from Nebraska's perspective, there's curiosity on both sides of the ball. The big question mark is going to be really, can Tanner Lee live up to this enormous hype at this point? And can the rest of Nebraska's offense provide him enough playmaking around that they can be efficient as they try to move the ball?
I think a lot of Iowa fans remember the name DeMornay Pearsonell from 2015. He's battled through injuries the past couple of years, but my question is, with the loss of Jordan Westerkamp and Alonzo Moore and Brandon Riley, is this the year where we see Pearsonell get a little bit more involved in the passing game?
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, he's got the God-given ability, the athletic talents that really make him stand out, not just as a punt returner where he's had a tremendous career in just one season alone with what he was able to do in 2014. But you look at his career as a wide receiver, it's been a little bit incomplete, and this is a big opportunity for him. I mean, Nebraska's number one target is going to be Stanley Morgan. He's probably their best threat to be a 1,000-yard receiver in Nebraska's history of football. But DeMornay Pearsonell has big play potential. They're lining him up on the outside. He's the guy that you safeties have to worry about taking the top off the defense. he's a guy that you worry about even just catching it in short and turning it into a big game because of his ability to read blocks and to make people miss in the open field. If DeMarne Pearsonell is healthy, there's really no reason why he couldn't be a dynamic player in this offense. I mean, Nebraska's coaches at Oregon State have taken guys with similar skill sets and had a lot of success. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got a big vertical, very quick, very fast. You combine all of that, it's just been a little bit disappointing, I think, for Nebraska fans that his career hasn't blossomed the way that it looked like it was going to as a freshman.
You mentioned Stanley Morgan and the possibility that he could be a 1,000-yard receiver this year, and that would be a huge step forward in production. For this offense to move forward, will he have to take that step forward and be more productive than he's been in his freshman and sophomore seasons?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the reasons that he wasn't, I mean, we would argue on this side of the fence. I mean, you look at how Nebraska is structured with Jordan Westerkamp, and you mentioned Alonzo Moore and Brandon Riley. I mean, Morgan was never really thought of as more than the maybe third or fourth option because of those guys that were in front of him. And he still had a pretty productive year last year and was second on the team, and I think both receptions and yards, in part because of injury. But now I think he's really got a chance. I mean, if Stanley Morgan, barring injury, doesn't put up pretty big numbers, Nebraska's offense is going to be pretty stagnant. It's hard for me to see another wide receiver, short of, you know, DeMarne Pearsonell putting it all together, having a bigger season or a bigger impact on Nebraska's season than Stanley Morgan. They need him to be a big player on offense. They need him to be a threat in the red zone because he can be physical. They need him to be a threat between the 20s to help him move the ball on third down to be a safety belt. I mean, they just don't have enough, in my opinion, playmakers on offense that he can't disappear for stretches of time. Not that he has during his career, but he's never had to be the guy, and this year he has to be the guy, and with that comes a lot of pressure.
Defensively, the first year when you're making the change from 4-3 to 3-4, it can be a little interesting. Do you think they've got the personnel right now to be able to handle that relatively smoothly?
I think the back end is going to be pretty good. The secondary, they've got the playmaking-type safeties that can really help out in that regard. They've got Chris Jones, who could be one of the best corners in the Big Ten this year. But you worry about how that front seven is going to do in this transition. I think that Nebraska's inside linebackers could be a real strength for them. I think one set of their outside linebackers, more of the coverage-type guys, could be pretty good. But they don't have that true pass-rushing 3-4 defensive end that you need to account for on any play because you don't know if he's coming or not. And they need somebody to develop there because the front, you know, with Freedom and Mick and Carlos Davis across the front, those guys aren't going to rack up a bunch of sacks and a bunch of hurries, so you're going to have to create pressure in different ways. Bob Diaco doesn't like to blitz, and so the big thing with this 3-4 is can it generate enough pressure on passing downs to get off the field? Because as good as that secondary might be, and as good as Chris Jones and potentially Lamar Jackson might be as corners, they can't cover forever. And Nebraska, since Randy Gregory, hasn't gotten a ton of pressure on quarterbacks, at least not higher than just average.
This team won 7 games in a row to start the year last year. I'm looking at the schedule for this fall. It looks relatively good once again. What's the most important game, in your opinion, on Nebraska's schedule this fall?
I think it's Wisconsin. I want to say that's the 6th of October. I may not have that date completely right, but that's a big game. I think it's the second or third game of Big Ten play. It's an opportunity for Nebraska to kind of once again really push through the ceiling that they've had. They've been a contender, you know, with air quotes in the Big Ten West, but they really haven't. There's only been one year where they've won it. There's only been one year where I think that they were, you know, undoubtedly the second team. So they've got an opportunity against a Wisconsin team that I don't anticipate is going to be as good as they have been in recent years. And they need to win that game because the Wisconsin one is the one that derailed their schedule last year. I mean, if Nebraska takes care of business and wins in Madison, they had multiple opportunities to do so in an overtime loss, then I think their season plays out a little bit different than the blowout losses they had to both Iowa and Ohio State. So if Nebraska, you know, regardless of how that Oregon game goes, which is big, but I don't think it's as big as the conference games and certainly not as big as Wisconsin. If Nebraska is able to beat the Badgers at home, protect their home turf, it sets them up to play out the rest of that conference schedule well and to be, you know, one of the favorites in that Big Ten West, which I think is wide open.
One of the preseason publications talked about Nebraska recruiting, and the reason that it's fallen off a little bit is one of the opposing coaches in the Big Ten says they don't recruit in Texas, Florida, or California nearly as much anymore. And I talked to a former player actually over the weekend who kind of echoed those sentiments. Do you put any stock into that?
I mean, I don't know in what reference that would be to, because in recent years they've certainly made a push in all of those states. Certainly under Mike Riley, I think they've gotten a recruit from every one of those states in all of his classes thus far. I mean, I think that it certainly hurt Nebraska to leave the Big 12 because they were able to pull more players out of Texas at that point in time. But some of their recruiting has largely just sort of sat in the 30 to 20 range. And some of that is just they haven't been able to hit marquee targets. Now, you look at their class that they've got going for 2018, they've got six guys out of their 10 commitments in the top 247 right now. So they've got a chance to have really a staple class. It's going to be a small year. We're projecting anywhere from 16 to maybe up to 18 commitments. But I anticipate that, you know, they're going to have a strong pull from you know, California, Florida, and Texas. Again, they already have commitments from all three of those states, you know, right now in their recruiting class. So it's those are the talent-rich, heavy areas. Nebraska's got to continue to pull from those, but they've also got to do a good job inside the 500-mile radius. They need to be able to keep guys that they want to keep or to grab guys out of the Kansas City, St. Louis area. They haven't been as successful in St. Louis as I think they'd want, but they have an opportunity here, you know, this year. I mean, St. Louis loaded with recruits to maybe pull a Cameron Brown or another player of that nature. So I think they've got an opportunity to really help themselves and go forward in recruiting.
Last question before we let you go, Mike, but how close is this to being viewed as a rivalry, Iowa and Nebraska, by Nebraska fans? And did 40-10 last year maybe help push some of them over the edge?
I mean, I don't understand how it's not a rivalry at this point. I mean, based on just how these two fan bases go back and forth, both whether it's the message board, whether it's Twitter, whether it's at the games. I mean, these games matter. I mean, that 2015 game when Iowa came to Lincoln and Nebraska was 5-6 and was fighting to get to 6-6 at the end of the first season for Mike Riley, coming off of big wins against Michigan State and a win against Rutgers, and they had some momentum. Iowa's trying to keep their undefeated season. I mean, that was a big game. That game mattered. Last year, I mean, both teams necessarily weren't playing for the Big Ten West, but that was still a chance. I mean, Minnesota still could have beat Wisconsin. Nebraska still had a chance. They could have finished the year with 10 wins, which is a big deal for Nebraska. I mean, that's an opportunity to go 10-2 and a full, you know, five-game turnaround in the regular season for Mike Riley. And they got waxed. And they got waxed, and it looked like they didn't want to be there. I mean, if Nebraska players feel like it's a rivalry, and they do, they always say that it is, they want to beat Iowa. They want to beat Iowa as much as they want to beat anybody on their schedule. But to me, at this point, it's one of those things that I think it absolutely is. I mean, we'll continue to talk about it, and fan bases will hem and haw about how it's this, and there's no titles involved and everything else. But to me, I mean, this is a border war, and it's slowly developing into a bigger one each season.
Mike, we appreciate the time, and I'm sure we'll see you on Black Friday. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Enjoy your
run through the Big Ten.
Mike Schaefer, 24/7 Sports, HuskersIllustrated.com, joining us for edition number two, installment number two of our Countdown to Kickoff series leading up to Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. It is 4:53. Kyle's going to join us for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update when we return. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City. Stop into 101 South Dubuque Street and wish the Dickens family congratulations on 70 years in business.
You know, a lot of swings. Was able to hash things out that I wanted to, and ready to just clean the slate and get back to business.
That was Cubs outfielder Kyle Schwarber earlier today in Chicago after rejoining the team from an 11-game stint in AAA with the Iowa Cubs. So the question is, did his time in the minor leagues help fix what was ailing the slugger? Schwarber hit .343 with four home runs while with the iCubs, numbers that were a far cry from the stats that he put up with the Cubs prior to his demotion to the minors. Cubs president Theo Epstein likened Schwarber's time away from the majors to hitting a reset button. That's an appropriate analogy with the second half right around the corner. To make room on the roster for Schwarber's return, the Cubs placed right-handed starting pitcher John Lackey on the 10-day disabled list.
For over 30 years, IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs. Learn more at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
Hey boss, is our computer network up and running yet?
No, they're still working on it.
It's been over 2 days. How much longer is it going to be?
I don't know. Everything seemed to be working fine, so I didn't think we needed to do anything. Then, when we lost all our files to that virus, I called some guy and he said our virus protection and backups weren't working correctly. He's still trying to get our files back.
I told you we needed to call IT Solutions before we had a problem.
I know.
The office where my brother works uses IT Solutions, and they aren't having any problems. My sister's business had a virus slip through, but they had all their files back in 30 minutes.
I wish that was us.
Well, since we can't get any work done around here, go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com now.
IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs for over 30 years. Learn more at IneedMyComputersToWork.com before it's too late.
Hour number two of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right around the corner. But first, Kyle Mann joining us for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Rick Heller announced earlier today that Desi Drushel would become the full-time pitching coach with the Iowa baseball team. Drushel has spent the last three seasons as Iowa's director of baseball operations after serving as Mount Mercy's head coach from 2006 to 2014. He inherits an Iowa staff returning 10 pitchers after breaking the school's single-season strikeouts record. The Cedar Rapids Colonels fell to the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers 5-3 yesterday, with all of Wisconsin's damage coming in the second inning. Starter Evan Sanders lasted just an inning and a third for the Colonels, and it's now on lefty Dominic Carlini tonight to help the Colonels avoid being swept in three games at home. He'll be facing Wisconsin's Jordan Desguin, and that game will get started at 6:35. The Colonels also announced a small roster move today, with outfielder Leon Marrero heading to the 7-day DL with a haymate fracture in his right hand. The team did not announce a corresponding promotion and appear prepared to play with 24 players on the roster for the duration of his injury. The Twins missed their chance at a three-game sweep of the Angels last night, falling in the finale 2-1, but they're back on the diamond tonight hosting Baltimore. The Twins and Orioles are starting a four-game weekend series that you'll be able to hear on KGYM Radio beginning tonight after our show, with ace Jose Berríos on the mound against Baltimore's Dylan Bundy. That game and all the Twins games this weekend can be heard on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
Broken hamate bone usually means not good things, especially for a hitter. So we'll see what direction the Minnesota Twins choose to go in filling his roster spot. Colonels in action tonight, as Kyle said, 6:35. What's going on with the Iowa Athletic Department? Well, they're not making any money. We'll talk about it coming up next. Hour number two on the way.
When I grow up, I want to make a pizza with the most cheese and the most pepperoni at the nation's best price. $6. It's going to be the best pizza ever.
Sorry.